Good morning and welcome to the second hour of the Bible study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. It's the Ask the Pastor program. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us. Thanks again to Pastor Charles Spomer from Ascension Lutheran Church. For the lesson in 1 Corinthians 14, we went through the first 25 verses about speaking in tongues. We had a couple of callers, and we had some good conversation last hour. But if you didn't get a chance to get in, you can certainly do so now. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, and KFUO at KFUO.org. And it's always a very special treat. So many of the pastors, as you know, we have pastors spread hither and yon all across the country in Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregations. And very frequently, we have to talk with them by way of telephone. But once in a while, something will cause them to come onto the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. And joining us this morning from, boy, halfway across the country, that's quite a journey, is Pastor Jeffrey Reese from Zion Lutheran Church in Tacoma, Washington. Well, welcome to the studios.
Thanks. Good morning.
It's good to have you. You're snug up just a little bit closer
to
that mic there.
Sure.
We'll get the full resonant tone, sort of like when you're preaching. Just
sure.
throw it out there, and everyone will hear what you have to say. How have you been? How was the trip out here, and what are you doing in St. Louis?
The trip was uneventful. We came out...
Even with TSA screeners, it was uneventful?
Even with TSA screeners,
wow.
We made it through pretty easily, yeah. We came out last Tuesday to visit some friends. We're actually out here for a doxology conference, which is a program I'm part of this year. A great program, helps pastors become better pastors, strengthens our skills in self-care as well as in care of our flock.
Oh, you guys never fail to take care of yourselves.
Yeah.
Long hours, low pay.
We spent a lot of time talking about taking care of ourselves. It was good.
So. Well, that's something that comes up in the news every once in a while. I think it's one of those dirty little secrets that no denomination, no church wants to talk about, and that's pastor burnout.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a very real problem, isn't it?
Yeah, and pastors don't like to talk about it either, frankly.
So, well, is that for fear that it may happen to you?
Probably, and well, there's always levels of denial, of course.
Yeah. So you're human like the rest of us?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
That's hard.
Really?
I know people, it's hard to believe.
Maybe it's all the robes that throw us off a little bit. I don't know.
The robes are to remind us that we're human like everybody else. So,
so you've been in town for the last week. You brought some clement weather with you. It seems to be a little bit of rain since you've been in town. You're not getting the full summer experience of St. Louis this year.
No. Well, we got enough heat to remember what it was like. I was pastor in Festus, Missouri for a few years before going out west.
That's right. That's
we got enough heat to remember what it was like and be happy that we're in a place where we've been experiencing mostly mid-70s.
Yeah. So, which congregation was that?
I was at New Hope in Festus, Missouri.
New Hope, mm-hmm. as opposed to the Old Hope.
Yeah.
Is New Hope better than Old Hope?
I hope so.
Or is that one of those things like Old Trinity, New Trinity?
I think it's coming. There's a few churches with the name New Hope that within the last 30, 40 years have cropped up.
And you graduated from this seminary here?
From this seminary, yeah.
How long ago?
Just 6 years ago.
So no burnout for you. It's only 6 years in the ministry.
It's been good.
So has it turned? I'm just curious. We'll get to a couple of things that I have in the news here and see what the callers have to say as we get along with the program here. But now that you've been in, that magic number seems to be five. You really know your craft when you've been in it for about 5 years, regardless of what your profession may be, your vocation, your calling. Is being a pastor everything you thought it would be?
Yeah, I would say it is and more. Some of the more is good, and some of the more has been more challenging. I think it's hard. It's one of those things where you can never fully prepare a person to serve in this office. It's until you actually have that stole placed upon you, and which is a representation of the yoke of Christ, and so forth, and. And until you actually are in the pulpit and you have that responsibility of servant leadership in that role in the office of the pastoral ministry, it's really hard to know. And so the seminaries, I think, do an outstanding job of preparing us. And there's lots of other post-secondary education, like doxology, for example, and I've been involved in others as well, that help a great deal. And any of that pastoral support that... you pastors can take advantage of, or you congregations can help your pastor take advantage of, I highly recommend. It's a great benefit.
Have you found yourself involved? I don't need to know the details, but I'm just curious of any of these controversies, sort of where you have two factions contending against each other in a congregation, and you're stuck in the middle of it.
Yeah, we've I've I've had congregational conflict before. And
well, the reason I raise this is because last week on Friday, one of our listeners, James, called in about a story I had not heard about. And that's probably because things were so consumed by the whole Chick-fil-A business. And a couple of things that will be coming up about that in the program as well, just sort of as a, as an epilogue to everything that happened last mm-hmm. week. But it's a story. It's well, here's the headline. Bryant, unfortunate church. Bryant is the governor of the state of Mississippi. Church blocked black wedding. Now, I got out there. I started looking, you know, for this information at James' request. And what happened here basically is that there was a congregation in Mississippi that was predominantly white, and the story reminds, ungraciously, that the Southern Baptist Church was originally founded as a segregationist, sort of pro-Southern Civil War church.
Mm-hmm.
But it does mention, I have to give credit to the author from the Associated Press, that in 1995 there was an official formal apology that mm-hmm. was issued for having held that position. They repented and moved forward from that. But apparently there are still some independent congregations that sort of still hold to the old ways. And a black couple who was in membership at this church wanted to get married there. Now, the stories that I found were replete with details about the revulsion people were feeling at the news, but not a whole lot of details about what caused this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say caught in the middle of this is it seems that this was a pastor who was trying to satisfy everybody at the same time. And when a small faction in the congregation came up and said, "We will not permit blacks to marry in our church," he took the wedding and moved it down the road to a predominantly black Baptist church, and then he conducted the service at that. Now, he said that it was to make sure their day was not spoiled, that everything went mm-hmm. well. If you were to be put into some sort of a controversy like that, how do you decide what to do? How do you decide who to honor first?
Yeah.
And if it tears your congregation apart, do you worry about that and how you mm-hmm. make the decision?
Obviously, if you have to deal with a situation where one way or another you're going to tear your congregation apart, I mean, that's a pastor's worst nightmare. That's where, you know, we go to our knees and, you know, we run to God and recognize that the Lord is the Lord of the church. I can't, you know, just thinking about the specific situation, and obviously we don't know all of the details.
It's, you know, like I said, it's lacking here in the story. I tried to find the exact mm-hmm. details, but there's very little coming out.
I know that if I made the decision the pastor made of, let's just go down the street so that we can, you know, you guys can have your day not sullied, that may have been an appropriate thing to do. Now, hopefully that pastor's going back and to his church and is going to be taking some very proactive steps in terms of teaching and pastoral admonishment, because obviously if this came down, you know, within weeks or days of the wedding, that this was going to be an issue, there's not a lot of time to sort out everything. You know, I don't, obviously if he's just doing it to try to make everybody happy, that would maybe be the best way to go about it. But if he's thinking, for now, let's do this, but now I've got my work cut out for me as a pastor to teach my people, you know, why this is wrong.
Yeah.
But you can't do that overnight.
And I was looking, I was searching this morning, and spent a little time over the weekend, looking for interviews with the pastor. I was trying to find if there was some misguided theological tenet on which they tried to base this, something where they had misinterpreted mm-hmm. Scripture or ignorant of what Scripture really said. And I just couldn't find it. It seems that they've been shamed, mm-hmm. you know, into the understanding what their sin is here.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to talk about this in a congregation.
Right. And that often happens. And we have to be careful here, because, you know, racism is obviously something that is abhorrent to most people in the United States. When we point the finger too sternly at that, we sometimes forget that there are four more fingers pointing back at us. Maybe not for racism, but we all have sin that we have been able to rationalize apart from the Scriptures.
Well, and that's the thing I was looking for is, you know, the simple answer that this was sort of a racist response kind of thing. But they were mm-hmm. members of the church in the first place, so mm-hmm. that kind of makes you wonder what's really going on here.
That is
not to, you know, mitigate any of that, because I'm sure that was a component of it, at least by the reports that I can find. But I really, you know, is this one of these churches, like snake handling is one of those things mm-hmm. that comes out of just a bad read of Scripture and a mm-hmm. misunderstanding. And maybe this is a bad read or a misunderstanding of something from Genesis or whatever.
It's possible. I have heard some preaching from a Baptist background, and I don't want to put any on any particular Baptist denomination, because not all Baptists think this way. But I have heard some preaching that sort of refers to America as the new Israel, and
the sort of this idea
that you Israel failed to run out the Canaanites, and we have failed to run out the. I think specifically it was a professor here that was sharing a sermon he'd heard,
right?
Where the preacher said that America likewise failed to run out the Native Americans, and that obviously that's horrifying to hear something like that.
Well, there was the fellow, you know, maybe 4 or 5 months ago. Again, sad to mention, I think it was a Southern Baptist. And again, there's a great deal of diversity. This is nothing about they are an amalgam of different churches and different small mm-hmm. groups that come together under the heading of the Southern Baptist Conference. And matter of fact, I think the fellow's name is Luter, is an African American gentleman who was just made president of that denomination. So,
right.
we're not trying to paint a picture here. I'm not trying to paint a picture here of what the Southern Baptist Conference is, but specifically to this, Well, I'm not quite sure where to go with this because, you know, as I'm looking at the story here, and this thing quickly degrades from being a discussion of, well, who, what, where, when, why, and it gets into sort of the implication that this is obviously because of the Civil War, because of. But, you know, the funny thing is, that, of course, everything has to be political today. So what do? They go to Governor Phil Bryant of the state of Mississippi, and they ask him for his commentary on this.
Mm-hmm.
And this AP story, the author is not, it's just listed as an AP byline, runs him through all this, gives him all the detail, and then asks him about you know, people getting married. And Bryant said, the denial of a wedding for a black couple at a traditionally white church has tainted Mississippi's image nationwide. I'm sure there are very good people of Crystal Springs and at the Baptist Church that don't feel that way and aren't supporting what was going on here. He said that... they should not deny their desire to marry in the church. Now, do you know what the reporter pulled the trigger on next?
Hmm.
Well, what about gay couples? If you feel that way about black couples, why should the church deny anyone the right to get married?
Right, and the black people that I have talked to about this are rather incensed and horrified and, you know, offended by the comparison of the two, and I think rightly so. It's there, you know, we're not even talking about apples and oranges here. We're talking about oranges and Winnebagoes or something. They're two completely different issues.
Yeah.
There is no biblical prohibition of being black.
Yeah.
Being black is a matter of creation, and there's just two different things.
I wouldn't say gay couples. This is the response of the governor of Mississippi. He said, I wouldn't say gay couples. I'd say a man and a woman. Let me make sure. Let's get that right. When I say couples, I automatically assume it's a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Not the best defense. Not the best explanation that could be given for why there's a distinction between what this congregation did to this black couple as wrong and denying two men or two women marriage in the church.
Well, and I don't think he was trying to defend that. I think he was just trying to clarify his remarks that he is he is a person who is not in favor of gay marriage. But he wasn't trying to necessarily go down the road of defending that, just clarifying his statement because of the reporter's remarks.
Just moving on from that, here's something else about just the sorry state of the church in general and how they could use a good dose of theological understanding. Over the weekend, there was apparently a shooting in Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
Where someone who is now being described as a military guy or an ex-military guy went into a Sikh temple,
mm-hmm.
and I think the last count was 7 were killed, a large number. It's sort of a replay
mm-hmm.
of what happened in Colorado at the movie theater. And I think, much like with that fellow, this will prove to be true that this guy was another nut job
mm-hmm.
who just, you know, lost it for whatever reason. And you know who has to weigh into this controversy? Your favorite church and mine, the Westboro Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you just love being a pastor, knowing that they are the ones that taint what people think about you and your craft?
Yeah, I don't talk a lot about them because it's hard to do without some level. I'm not
a whole lot of Christian
person,
love there when you talk about the Westboro guys, is there?
They defy description. It's horrifying, and Yeah, they tend to want to be on the forefront of proclaiming anyone who isn't in lockstep with their very, very warped theology. And I'm sure that most Baptists cringe when they hear Westboro and Baptists spoken together.
Yeah.
I've never met Baptists like these.
And no intention in putting these two stories next to each mm-hmm. other, just that James called on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be more to come on the program about this couple and this church and being denied the right mm-hmm. to get married when Dr. Victor Rodge returns, because mm-hmm. we're going to talk about this word partiality that was also mm-hmm. raised by James. So we're not selling it short, James. I just wanted to let you know that your request is well under good service here as we try and bring you some more about that story. But this Westboro one, here's what the headline says. God sent another shooter.
Mm-hmm.
God sent this guy to shoot up a Sikh temple
mm-hmm.
because, well, America is apostate, and he's going to get our attention one way or
mm-hmm.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Thank you, Fred Phelps. As if the church wasn't under enough attack from Satan, now we get Fred Phelps. So what do you do with it? If you have a congregant that comes up to you and says, did you see this pastor? You know, it seems sensical,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it? It makes sense that bad things are going to happen when we mm-hmm. reject God, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at the Old Testament. All those people rejected God and all that smoting and smiting and that kind of, the Babylonian cauldron roiling over the top of Jerusalem.
Yeah, Fred Phelps and Westboro Baptist Church, to be honest, I mean, we can talk a little bit about it, but they're best ignored because responding to them only fuels their motivation.
Well, yeah, and I bring that up knowing that.
Yeah, yeah, and they've come out our way several times. Oh, well, actually, they picketed both military funerals in Jefferson County, Missouri, that I was there for, and we were able to kind of, as a community, work to prevent them from being within sight of the funeral motorcades and so forth. But out west, they came to Mark Driscoll's church, Mars Hill in Seattle. Some of listeners will probably be aware yeah. of who Mark Driscoll is. Very large megachurch. Mark Driscoll had his people out there serving them coffee and donuts, which I thought was an excellent response. You know,
yeah.
serve them in love. And, you know, the sort of heaping the burning coals on your enemy's head type of a tactic. In order to keep them from picketing a funeral out there, a local radio station offered Fred Phelps 30 minutes of airtime so that he could spew his theology to the area, and in exchange for that, they would not picket the funeral of two little boys whose father had killed himself and them recently in my county out there, Pierce County. So there's lots of ways in which lovingly people are taking these folks on and lovingly protecting others in the process.
Here's one of the other things. Now, this was apparently a Twitter war between Margie Phelps, who I think is the agent provocateur after Fred, the first daughter of Fred,
mm-hmm.
and saying some things. She also tweeted out there, God doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked. Well, that is a true statement, isn't it?
Yeah, you can say that, but how is it that here's the question, you know, in terms of Orthodox Christianity, what is it that takes our wickedness away? What is it that makes us righteous? If you talk to Phelps and company, righteousness is about a set of rules that you follow, a set of principles that you uphold. The Bible is a rule book, and if you break the rules, you go to hell.
Yeah.
For a true Christian, and I say this about very few groups who call themselves Christians, but the Westboro Baptist Church is about as anti-Christian as you can get.
Yeah. They're certainly serving the purpose of being anti-Christ.
Yeah. Certainly, yeah. and they're driving those who are outside of the church. They're fueling hate, more and more hatred for the church. So they're very dangerous to the faith. But the true Christian sees all of our righteousness comes through Christ. And, you know, if I look to myself, I see nothing but a poor, miserable sinner, which, of course, part of our confession when we begin the divine service. It's when I look to Christ. That's the goal of the gospel. The law is to drive us to see our own sins and then turn us to the cross, wherein our redemption lies, and where we receive in faith that gospel proclamation that in Christ our sins are forgiven. So my prayers are heard by God. I'm confident of that. Why? Because I have, not because I am righteous of myself, but because in Christ I have been made righteous.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Pastor Jeffrey Rice from Zion Lutheran Church in Tacoma, Washington, in studio today here on campus to participate in Doxology. Did I get that?
Yeah.
And joining us here for the program this hour. If you have any questions or comments, great time to get in during the break. That'll be coming up in just about 3 or 4 minutes. You know, the thing that struck me as I was looking at the whole Fred Phelps thing, and you know, what does it mean to be a Christian today? There's so many different definitions of the word and so many different applications of the word. And you know, depending upon translation, you know, the word itself only shows up, I think, what, 3 times in the New Testament, the word Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's referred to as Antioch, where they're first called Christians.
Yeah, Antioch is when it first becomes the title Christian first gets contributed.
So what's in a name? Well, you look at the names of God, whether you look at the names of the Holy Spirit, like Paraclete, Comforter, El Shaddai, Elohim, Yahweh, Jesus, Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
The name is an attribute of their nature. So when you look at the name, or when we carry the name Christian, what are we supposed to be represent? What are the attributes we're supposed to have if we call ourselves Christian?
Well, I always would say the number one attribute of a Christian is repentance. And I remind my people of this all the time, every chance I get, whether sermon or Bible study. The only thing that distinguishes the Christian from the non-Christian is repentance. A level of sinfulness, that's not separation. Our ability to do good works and to love our neighbor. Yeah. I know plenty of Islamic people or Sikh people. Sikhs are very charitable, loving people, instance.
And they're not Muslim.
Yeah,
they get confused
and they're not Muslim at all. They're the only thing that they have in common with Muslim is they're monotheists. But other than that, there's not much there. But one of my closest friends in the world is atheist, and he's one of the most generous, loving people I've ever met. One of the best fathers I've ever known. In some ways, he shames me as a father.
Mm.
So it's not about our ability to do good works or our loving nature. It's about repentance. It's about repenting of our sin and trusting that Christ has removed that sin from us and made us righteous. Yeah.
Well, a component of being Christian is being Christ-like, and Paul, I think, spends a lot of time talking about admonishing the churches to be Christ-like.
Yeah.
So being Christ-like is what? Mm-hmm. What does that? How do I become more like Christ?
It's a fruit. I would say it's a fruit of repentance. It flows out of the general repentance that it is to be Christian. So you know, we do want to, and that's where people, you know, you can get down on people who wear the WWJD bracelets or have the bumper stickers or what have you.
Well, right.
Not necessarily wrong. It's just you don't want that to be the primary principle. You want that to be the fruit that flows from who you are as Christian in Christ. And lost my train of thought. But so what would Jesus do? It's fine to seek to ask that question and to find ways that I can love my neighbor better. We do that as a fruit of faith, not as a cause of it.
Well, I was also wondering about how sometimes we misperceive baptism as being an act as opposed to a condition of our existence from that moment forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, to be Christ-like, well, don't we take that on in our baptism?
Yeah.
It's a condition of our being.
Absolutely.
To be Christ-like.
Yeah, baptism bestows upon us that forgiveness, life, and salvation in the word and the water.
And that,
and our whole life is you know, like you don't ask, were you married? You ask, are you married?
Yeah.
You know, you don't ask, were you baptized? You ask, are you baptized?
So it's not about doing an inventory about I fed the poor and I clothed this and I did that. And it is who you are by nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of us express that differently.
Mm-hmm.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. KFUO at KFUO.org. Lots more to come here on the Ask the Pastor program with our guest pastor, Pastor Jeffrey Rice from Zion Lutheran Church in Tacoma, Washington. Now, we've been on a track here. If you've got a different question, different comment, something else you've seen in the news, now's a great time to call in, get on the board. We'll come to you first after the break. A little more Chick-fil-A news coming up. We'll be right back.
The KFUO comment line at 314-505-7839 is our chance to hear back from you.
I was just calling to let you know how much I enjoy the music between 12 and 1.
You listen to us, and we want to hear back from you. That's why we have our listener comment line at 314-505-7839. 7839.
I can always hear something nice on KFUO, and I know you are true to the Bible.
Call the KFUO comment line at 314-505-7839. Your comments, questions, and opinions are important to us.
I just want to tell you guys, I listen every night. Keep up the good work.
Remember, you're always welcome to call our live programs and be part of them on the air, but we realize that many of you may be listening to one of our on-demand programs or podcasts. The KFUO comment line, 314-505-7839. KFUO Radio is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling. Their showroom is in the Mid-County Trade Center, located at 8463 Delport Drive. Reliable Heating and Cooling features Lennox furnaces and air conditioning, along with other well-known manufacturers. Reliable Heating and Cooling has a website for information at www.trustreliable.com. Next time you call Reliable Heating and Cooling, thank them for being a KFUO radio underwriter.
This is John Fuller for Focus on the Family. When you think of the word addiction, what comes to mind? Drugs? Alcohol? Well, how about exercise? We're going to examine on our next program how any behavior, desire, or comfort that takes God's place in your life is dangerous. That's on our next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Weekdays at 9:30 on KFUO Radio.
The head of the Sikh faith in the United States says he's shocked by Sunday's deadly attack on a congregation in suburban Milwaukee. Satpal Singh is chairman of the World Sikh Council American Region.
We were very saddened. It's a terrible tragedy to happen to anybody.
Sikhism has about 500,000 followers in the U.S. It could be a major confrontation between Vatican officials and the Leadership Conference of Women Religious, the largest group of U.S. nuns. A church report charges that the group has strayed from church teachings and should be overhauled. Correspondent Rachel Zoll reports the sisters, who meet this week in St. Louis, have widespread support.
There have been vigils around the country in different parishes. There were protests outside the Vatican Embassy in Washington. In Congress, there was a House resolution that passed praising the nuns for everything that they contributed to the United States.
In Philadelphia, a Roman Catholic Monsignor will ask to be released on bail while he appeals his conviction in a church sex abuse scandal. Monsignor William Lynn is serving a 3-to-6-year term after his child endangerment conviction in June. I'm Norman Hall.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Lights, camera, action may be words heard in Hollywood, but not pro-life circles. That is, unless you're on the set of our weekly pro-life television program, Facing Life Head On. We just received our second Emmy Award. The episode honored our nation's soldiers and families for the lifetime sacrifices they've made to protect our freedoms, the most critical being our right to life. I was immensely privileged to stand on stage and accept this distinguished honor from the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. I kept thinking of the families of fallen soldiers and those who survived but paid an enormous price. It was for them. And it was for innocent human life from womb to tomb. For images of the Emmy ceremony, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bible Study, Ask the Pastor program here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. Our guest pastor this morning is Pastor Jeffrey Reese from Zion Lutheran Church in Tacoma, Washington. Going through some of the things in the news, answering a couple of the questions for James from his call last Friday. Also talking a little bit about what is it to be a Christian, because when you look at Fred Phelps and the Westboro Bunch and all the people out there who represent themselves as Christians, well, sometimes you have to pause and say, well, what does it really mean today? What is a Christian today? What are the terms that define us? What is it that we do? And what makes us distinct from, well, everybody else who's out there? But you ready for a couple more calls?
Sure.
You ready to go? Here we go. Let's go to the phones. Oh, who do we want to take first here? Let's go to Herman. Herman, good morning. Thanks for the phone call.
Good morning. Thank you. Mentioning the Sikhs, my late sister had converted into Sikhism, and I witnessed to her on her deathbed the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the Sikhs were a synthesis of religion coming out of an encounter with Islam Hinduism and Buddhism in northwest India, where it originated. And the founder, we'll call Guru Nana, saw Jesus retrospectively as a wise spiritual guru of his time who was superseded by other successions of gurus, and he himself, the Sikhs hold, Guru Nana has been superseded by others. So they see Jesus as sort of an inspired wisdom spiritual teacher, but not the divine Son of God who did not rise from the dead. They are persuasive people. They don't have violence as a means of conversion, but try to appeal on the basis of their teachings. But it's interesting that in that instance in northwest India, the Sikh founders of the Sikhs considered themselves superseding all other religions at that time, including the synthesis of Christianity, Judaism, and paganism, as in Islam as well.
Yeah, all that's basically correct. From my knowledge of Sikhism is limited, but I have my undergraduate degree was in world religions, so I have studied them. But that was like 20 years ago. but yeah, all of that's basically correct. They're a very universalistic religion. They are accepting of pretty much any faith, including Islam. But they would of course reject militant Islam.
And thank you. Looking forward to the update on Chick-fil-A there.
Got some interesting. Got a little bit of audio, Herman, that you may want to listen to. I'll play that up here.
Okay.
Swirl it up for you next as we get this going on the second portion of our hour here during the Ask the Pastor program, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Now let me page through my notes here, and you can see I've got pages upon pages of notes. Where did this go? Well, unfortunately, this may have been left as part of the other stack that was back in the office back there. Anyway, we talked on Friday about this fellow. I played the audio from his video of the fellow who went through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Now, you've been here on campus doing things, so you haven't seen this, so I'm not going to hold you 100% accountable for knowing what's going on here, so we'll talk about it in principle. But what he does is he puts a video up of him sitting in line at Chick-fil-A, and he's not ordering anything other than a large ice water.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole purpose was that someone said, if you really want to throw a wrench in the works, go get in line, go get in the drive-thru, clog the works up, order a large ice water. They don't charge you for it, and perhaps we can, hurt them by making it inconvenient or by making them spend money for styrofoam cups and straws and that sort of thing. And we'll make our point that we don't appreciate their stand on gay marriage. Well, he's in line, and he's sort of full of himself, and he's sort of eager to get up to the window. And as soon as he does, here's this poor 20-year-old gal who's doing nothing but working at Chick-fil-A, at the drive-through window. And he blasts her, in a really ugly way. And she tries to be very gracious. She was very gracious about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, at first says, well, I don't agree with you, and this is what we're not allowed to take sides, and this is not about that. And she says, it's a privilege to serve you. And goes through all this. Well, there's an apology videotape that this fellow put out. Now, apparently what's happened to him is he's become the poster child for bad behavior in America.
Mm-hmm.
He has, because his someone made his home address. Now, I'm not saying these are good things, but this is what's happened as a result of what he's done. Made his home address public record, not living at home, because people are very angry with how he treated this young woman. He has lost his job because his company said we will not tolerate such behavior, especially when you make it so public and you're so proud of this and that. But then in this 7-minute long apology, other than saying he is sorry, he sort of goes on to justify why he did what he did as being a higher calling for a better cause. He refers to a woman by the name of Jackson Pierce as being the one who inspired him to do what he did. So I did a little bit of research, and I went back, and I found who this Jackson Pierce woman was. She has a blog site. Apparently, she lives in the South. I think it's somewhere in the Atlanta area, if I'm not mistaken. Sort of an avant-garde person who has taken it upon herself as her vocation to rewrite fairy tales.
Hmm.
Some might say from a politically correct point of view.
Mm-hmm.
She's written one called Purity, where it's, I guess, maybe sort of a cross between The Princess and the Pea and Snow White and that sort of thing.
Hmm.
And it's about a father who wants this daughter to be pure, but yet she doesn't want to be a conformist, and she wants to be promiscuous and active, because this is the higher, this is the greater thing that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And she struggles to figure out how to balance with the father, and it's that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've heard this before. Well, here's the portion of the videotape that supposedly inspired this man to act badly as he did. Here it is. Let me make sure we've got this in the right place. 3, 2, 1.
Basically, Dan Cathy said that he and the company support the traditional family and the biblical definition of marriage. He also said, "We are a family-owned business, a family-led business, and we are married to our first wives." That was my best Dan Cathy impression.
Wow.
So there are several things that irritate me about Mr. Cathy's statement. Number one, to me, the traditional family is one where the members love and support one another. It has nothing to do with color or ethnicity or shared blood or sexuality or gender. Maybe I'm just like more traditional than you are, Mr. Cathy. And number two, if I supported the biblical definition of marriage, I would keep my mouth shut about that. Because you see, the biblical definition of marriage involves a man and potentially more than one woman and as many concubines as he wants to hire. Biblically, a rapist is required to marry the woman he raped. And ladies, if you can't prove you're a virgin on your wedding night, you're going to get stoned. I mean, like with rocks, not the other kind of stoned. Also biblically, if your brother dies and hasn't had a kid yet, you got to marry his wife. It doesn't really matter if she wants to marry you or not. You have to. Biblically. In fact, nowhere in the Bible is a woman's consent required for marriage. So I'm just saying, if I believed all of those things, I would probably keep my mouth shut. But we all know what Mr. Cathy really meant when he said traditional family and biblical definition of marriage. He meant that he doesn't want gay people to marry one another. Now, ignoring the fact that I think Chick-fil-A could make a killing catering gay weddings, this whole thing perfectly exemplifies why I think people who cite the Bible as a justification for denying others their legal rights are insane. If you're going to claim that you stand up for biblical principles, stand up for them. But that means stand up for all of them. Don't just stand up for the ones that give you a person to hate or an easy victim to other. Stop wearing polyester and stop watching football and go marry a dead brother's wife. I have no problem with people standing up for their religion, but I have a big problem with people standing up for hate and trying to say it's because of religion.
And I had to listen to all 7 minutes of that.
Wow.
And you know, it's a testament to my staying power, I guess.
It's a poster child for bigotry, speaking against bigotry.
Yeah, hate. We will expose your hate by being hateful. Take off that polyester and stop watching football. And funny how, you know, while speaking passionately about tolerance, they can be so intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the things that she noted there, okay, I mean, that's a legitimate challenge. You know, you want to use the Bible to talk about traditional marriage and what values are? All right, live up to it. Marry your brother's wife. Make rapists marry their victims. What do you make of that?
Well, without going into an intense study of Leviticus, which would be longer than we have and probably bore all of your listeners to death, although Leviticus is an exciting book, Leviticus and the Levitical law is not about, again, a set of principles or rules to follow to make God happy. The Levitical law was given to God's people precisely to keep them holy before him in their fallen state. It was the covering that he gave them to provide holiness to them so that he could dwell in their midst, through the tabernacle and so forth. Now we have Christ doing that for us. We are made holy by the blood of Christ, and that's why, you know, the Ten Commandments and some of the other moral code we still obviously follow, because it stems from the Ten Commandments and what it means to live as a child of God. But that's why we don't follow all of the other laws. I mean, she is obviously ignorant of that. But a loving person sitting down with a brother or sister with whom they disagree and asking questions would learn that rather quickly.
The other point about if you're not a virgin when you get married, you'd be stoned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other point she doesn't seem to understand is that even by the time of the earthly ministry of Christ, Israel had departed from plural marriage. The Pharisees, now they may have gone through a serial marriage with divorces, as the Pharisees were prone to do, but they weren't into plural marriage.
Plural marriage was not a biblical principle ever. It was described there.
Yeah, ask Abraham how that worked out for him.
Exactly.
Or Isaac.
Or Jacob. You know,
Jacob
did not get the girl he wanted. He got, you know, the one that was given to him. He got Leah. He wanted Rachel. He ended up getting Rachel later, but, you know, he had to kind of finagle things. And, of course, the line of Jesus went through Leah.
Exactly.
Not Rachel.
Yeah, not Rachel.
The Lord never at any point does the Lord ever condone multiple marriages, and it's just a kind of confirmation that everybody in the Bible save Christ is a sinner.
Well, and look at David's household mm-hmm. and the troubles that come mm-hmm. with that.
Sure.
Look at Solomon. Mm-hmm. Some question whether Solomon even died in the mm-hmm. faith because of all the foreign wives.
Mm-hmm.
And the high places that he built in Israel, as mm-hmm. an, you know, these would be an abomination to God.
Mm-hmm.
This, so how's that working out for you, as Dr. Phil would say?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's kind of the point that Christians have come to where they are about mm-hmm. one man, one woman, lifetime commitment made before God, honor that commitment in spite of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you stay together, not serial marriage, not multiple, not all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, the whole Chick-fil-A debacle has been a great poster child for the on both sides of the issue about how we love to draw lines in the sand, and we seem to always shy away from loving the other person and seeking to win the brother or sister over in love. You know, it's ridiculous on both sides. Things I've seen posted on Facebook and so forth.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have no problem whether you went to eat Chick-fil-A on Wednesday, August 1st or not. I did, mostly because I like their chicken and a friend of mine really wanted to go.
I gave it away on air.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. You know, in Dan Cathy, the funny thing is this is all based on Dan Cathy's right to say something he never actually said. He affirmed the traditional family marriage, and can you imply that he's against gay marriage? I think it's probably fair to say he's against
sure,
gay marriage.
Sure.
But is that not his right as a citizen of this country to do so? And
oh.
yet he did so by speaking in favor of traditional marriage. He did not at any point speak any words of hatred against gay marriage.
Would you say he made a more positive argument for traditional marriage than this woman, Jackson Pierce, made for marriage in any form?
More positive, absolutely, in terms of the spirit of it. He wasn't really trying to make an argument for or against. He was just affirming something he believed in.
Right.
And again, do we have free speech or do we not?
We do, and part of free speech is, I guess, having to endure people mm-hmm. call you stupid.
Right.
As this woman mm-hmm. did. Now, you know, the thing that I one of the emailers for the program on Friday, you know, I played the audio from that man's video, and it's rude, and it's bullying, and it is unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one of the listeners wrote in and said, well, you know, essentially called me on the carpet, rightly so, that perhaps some of my speech was getting a little bit too aggravated at what this fellow had done.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought, well, but you have to call a thing what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that part of the nature of sin, is when you get up in the pulpit and preach
mm-hmm.
about bad behavior, if you want to call mm-hmm. it that, or sin
mm-hmm.
more properly, you got to call a thing what it is. And when someone acts like when you have mm-hmm. to use hate to expose someone else's hate,
mm-hmm.
you got to call it what it is.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Bullying. And the woman that you described at the drive-thru window responded in a very appropriate, loving manner,
gracious
exactly
woman.
The way that we would hope everyone would. And yet all of us have been tempted when our button's pushed, you know, Fred Phelps can push my buttons.
You know, and the thing is, when I watched this guy's apology this morning,
mm-hmm.
truthfully, I felt sorry for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he thought he was doing something to be kitschy and cool, and he put a video up, and that maybe mm-hmm. his friends would notice, and it would get him some, you know, street cred among some of his students mm-hmm. where he taught. He's lost his job, his family is disrupted, he's not living. I wouldn't have wished this upon this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a rough lesson.
It is.
For what he did.
You know, I can't speak to whether or not if I was in charge of that company, whether I would do that or not, or whether that's the appropriate line, but just speaking of it from the standpoint of you reap what you sow.
But we don't have to glory in this and go, serves you right.
No, yeah, and that would be the wrong response, but
yeah.
Certainly call
sadly,
it what it is.
But sadly, a lot of the stories out there mm-hmm. are people shaking their fist at this guy going, see, you got what you deserve. But again, like mm-hmm. you said, you know, if you're going to act like a jerk, don't be surprised when people
right.
respond the same way. Now, again, this is, what is a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Are we supposed to respond? Other than calling a thing what it is,
mm-hmm.
it's the response that makes the difference.
Right, and we can call a thing what it is and still love the person whom we are admonishing.
Yeah.
It is possible to do that. I do that with my children all the time. I don't love them less when I'm angry with them.
I hate you.
Yeah,
when you get to teenagers, I don't know how old you are.
Yeah, yeah, and God and Hebrews and a couple of other parts of scriptures talks about how the Lord disciplines those whom he loves. And
yeah.
So it's out of love that we want to admonish. If we're not loving, it's when we bury our head in the sand and ignore the issue and allow a person to continue in their sin.
Nathan, what an unloving guy.
Yeah, you the man,
are
David.
The man, uh-huh. David. You know, mm-hmm. that's and I think this fellow just had his Nathan moment, mm-hmm. so to speak. And maybe what it will do is help him restructure the way he deals with people in the future.
Yeah, our prayer should be that, you know, he would come
and
to repentance.
And leave the guy alone. I mean, yeah. he's experienced in spades.
Yeah, you were mentioning his addresses out there online. You know, let him be.
And what was the point of that? You know, that was just right. That was just as vulgar an act as what happened overnight here in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
In De Pere, mm-hmm. someone attacked the Chick-fil-A.
Oh,
in De Pere, wow. mm-hmm. and spray painted, you know, the graffiti on it mm-hmm. about "taste like hate," you know, and that kind of thing. You know, if we're going to condemn one, we have to condemn all.
Right. Well, and hate speech is being very narrowly defined right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sadly so. It's if, mm-hmm. if you carry the label Christian, mm-hmm. it's hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't it funny that Sikh temple shooting, this get down a rat hole for about 30 seconds here. One guy goes in, shoots the place up, kills a number of people. It's an act of domestic terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
When the guy shot up Fort Hood, he's just a nut job.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a nut job. See, there's that distinction you're talking about.
Yeah, and I don't know how those distinctions are drawn, but I do know that it's all, you know, it's all sin.
Well, you know, if you're going to go in and, mm-hmm. and shoot a bunch of people, what does the label have to do with it?
Right.
You know, if you call it a hate crime, does it make it any less heinous
mm-hmm.
or more heinous than if it was just a guy who was off his meds and a random act of violence? The dead are still the dead. The wounded are still the wounded. The tragedy is still the tragedy.
Right.
What difference does it make what you call it? What a silly world we live in. See, it's like parsing sin. It's no longer sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply an alternative lifestyle choice.
Well, and that's the problem when we start to classify things like that. That's the road we go down.
It's the tyranny of language. Let's grab a quick phone call here from David. David, good to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, gentlemen. Hey, I got my gift card from Chick-fil-A in the mail.
Excellent.
And I did go last Wednesday. So I'm not tooting my own horn, but I just thought I'd say it. And I'd like to ask a question. You know, when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, was he being hateful? And I say that with tongue-in-cheek, but even when Christ comes back, he's going to take vengeance on those who don't know God and don't obey the gospel. I think it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So the way people determine hateful, I guess they would classify the Lord and God as hateful. So when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, what do you think about that? I'm on myself, so I'll just get off and listen on the radio.
David, enjoy lunch on us. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, well, Sodom and Gomorrah are and God's destruction of them is a prime example of God pouring out his wrath. God hates sin. And God's wrath is going to be poured out against it. That was Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you call that a hateful act on behalf of God? I think you have to, biblically, because of the way that
it's sin.
Yeah, he hates sin.
Yeah.
And it's a prime example of the fact that God's wrath must, you know, eradicate sin.
But the thing that God possesses that we mm-hmm. don't is perfect justice.
Right. And we have to remember that we're a creation,
yeah.
The Creator has the right to do with His creation whatever He wants. And truthfully, the grace of God is most recognized when we acknowledge the fact that we ought to go the same way as Sodom and Gomorrah, and yet for the sake of Christ, you know, whose wrath, you know,
right.
who into whom He poured all of His wrath.
And really, what was the primary result of the destruction? I mean, don't forget, you've got Abraham still living in the countryside. You've got Lot, who's now living in the city.
Mm-hmm.
If Sodom and Gomorrah continue and persist in their ways,
mm-hmm.
what's the problem? Now maybe Abraham is drawn in. Now maybe the rest of these special, sanctified,
right.
holy people, separate mm-hmm. from what's going on, are now corrupted as well.
Yeah, and it's the same reason that the Israelites, when they entered the Promised Land, were directed to eradicate all of the Canaanites, including their livestock, even.
Yeah.
That's how much eradication was supposed to
well,
have
Well, thank goodness they had different ideas about that, mister. Look how that worked out for them.
Yeah.
See, isn't that funny how, mm-hmm. you know, if you just take it at face value,
mm-hmm.
these things are so remarkably clear. Hey, one other quick follow-up on the on Chick-fil-A. You know the flip side of that Chick-fil-A coin? You know, you mm-hmm. participated, you probably saw the long lines. And
mm-hmm.
I was remarkably impressed, you know, sitting there with my family having a quick meal last Wednesday evening, people walking with trays, looking for people who, it's complete strangers, inviting people to come and sit with them. And it was just a remarkably pleasant thing to see, and people in line, not pushing, not shoving. Not, it wasn't like the beer line at the ball game kind of thing.
It was really nice, and the staff were very, very friendly and very
enduring up very well. I'm remarkably impressed with the folks that Chick-fil-A hired. They did an excellent job. But here's the other side of that coin, just very quickly. You know, there was supposed to be National Same Sex Kiss Day.
Yeah,
on Friday.
I did hear about that.
Did you really? Did you hear about it?
I heard about it.
I think all about four people showed up.
Yeah, and I didn't see any. I didn't know what the results
were
of it.
I would venture this guess. And this is what I think I said on the air last Wednesday when we talked about this. Imagine the juxtaposition of all these people standing in line, drive-through, looped around the buildings twice, everybody polite, everybody just, you know, conducting commerce and serving their neighbor by purchasing and doing this. And I said, well, wait till these other pictures come out and you see what that looks like. The images never showed up, number one, because nobody turned up for it. Very few did. Here I've got the National Same-Sex Kiss Day met with deafening silence. and that's because, it says here in the story, so how did National Same-Sex Kiss Day compare to Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day? It says, take a look for yourself. The Atlanta-based company confirmed in a statement that they broke the daily sales record on Wednesday, and then on Friday, folks didn't show up. They figured if they're going to show up and kiss in, I'm just not going
to
play along.
Go to Chick-fil-A.
And nobody did. So you didn't see the reports of it because it didn't happen. The one place it did happen, and arrests were made and the police were called. You know why? Because in California, I think in the Hollywood area, so much of the press showed up looking for same-sex couples at the kiss-in that when they didn't show up, they started harassing the employees for their opinions, and they started getting in their faces while they were trying to do that. So they called the police. Could you please escort the media out of here?
Jeez.
So, you know, I guess the lesson from all this, you tell me, Pastor, what you think, but is, you know, we've sort of been cowed, sort of intimidated from speaking up because of this supposed backlash that will come our way. And then what a quiet, you know, we shall not comply on Wednesday. You know, do what's right. You know, when you're compelled to do wrong, say, I just won't comply. You know, be gracious. Take your lumps if you have to, and just don't be intimidated.
Yeah, I mean, we're not, when we say take your lumps, we're not saying roll, you know, roll over or be a be a doormat, but you don't have to.
Well,
you don't
Paul
have to
took his lumps.
Kind of, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean. Paul took his lumps.
Absolutely.
And he got up and he just kept on going. You know.
Yeah.
And sadly, you know, sometimes it may be the sword coming down in your neck, but you know, that's I was just looking at that in just such a Pauline context. You know, these guys, what happened this morning? They hired a company. They washed off the graffiti. They're open for lunch.
Yeah.
Life goes on.
That's the best way to do
No public statement from Chick-fil-A. And this happened across the country in several locations. Just get up and do your business.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be hate, and it comes from all different directions. And hate knows no has no discrimination for race, creed, gender, sexuality, etc.
And look at the numbers that turned up on Wednesday. Look at how many didn't turn up on Friday. Take some comfort in that, and don't be so shy. Gracious. I mean, what does Peter say? With gentleness,
and respect.
That was that was Wednesday of last week. Chick-fil-A was an exercise in gentleness and respect. Pastor Jeffrey Reese, thanks for coming in. Glad you were on campus so that we
could
do this live together. Tell me a little bit about your congregation. You have a website. You want folks to check you out because they may be listening.
Yeah,
in Washington.
We have a website, www.zion-tacoma.org. It's under development, so I can't vouch for everything being accurate at the moment, but please do check us out.
Well, give them a flavor of what the congregation is like. Take our regards from KFUO back to that congregation. Thank them that they give you the opportunity to participate with us in the program, and it's been fun having you here.
It's been fun to be here.
We'll get
you
a shirt now so that you can go back well-equipped.
Absolutely. Excellent.
Thank you, my friend. All right, that's it for today. We're back tomorrow with more Ask the Pastor, more Bible study in 1 Corinthians. I don't know that we're completely done with the tongues and prophecy issue yet. We'll have to wait and see. Be safe till then.
Listen
Bye-bye.
To the Bible study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
At 21, Alan Babin joined the Army to serve his country. He became a combat medic because he wanted to help. One night on patrol in Iraq, his platoon came under heavy fire. His mother, Rosie, describes what happened next.
A call for a medic had gone out, and without any regard for his safety, Alan left a covered position and rushed to the young wounded and was hit himself.
Now, like many wounded veterans, Alan will require daily care for the rest of his life. Paralyzed Veterans of America has been working for over 60 years to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned from the country they proudly served.
PVA is the voice of wounded veterans. The fact that they're there and advocating on behalf of paralyzed veterans is a really good feeling.
To support Paralyzed Veterans of America, visit PVA.org.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org. AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. We heard the names of the dead for the first time today in the horrific shooting at the Sikh temple in Wisconsin.
Sita Singh, 41 years old, male. Ranjit Singh, 49 years old, male. Satwan Singh Kalika, 62 years old, male.
One name was not on that list.
His name is Wade Michael Page. It's spelled W-A.
The name of the man Oak Creek, Wisconsin Police M-I-C-H. Chief John Edwards identifies as the gunman.
He was in the military from 1992 to 1998. He had a general discharge, and that he was ineligible for reenlistment.
While he was in the Army, he was a psychological operations specialist, we are told, and at one time in his life, he had a white supremacist heavy metal band, we've learned. Police believe he was the only gunman, but at this morning's news conference, FBI Special Agent Teresa Carlson showed a photo of a man they call a person of interest.
This person is not identified as of yet, and we would like to identify this person and talk to him. He is just a person of interest at this time.
He's an individual who showed up at the scene after the shooting and was just on scene, and someone mentioned him to another officer who was out there saying this guy looks suspicious, and so we're looking to question him.
That's Police Chief Edwards saying they did not have any run-ins with Wade Michael Page before Sunday's shootings. He says Page used a 9mm handgun legally purchased. A senior official with the Free Syrian Army says two other ministers have now defected with Syria's prime minister, reportedly to Jordan. A U.S. official says this is more evidence that President Bashar Assad's regime is crumbling in the midst of the Syrian civil war. This is AP.